Hello, this is Pastor Dave Ford, and this is our podcast for the week of January the 16th. This week we're teaching from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I'm teaching from the New Living Translation, which I love and I think is an excellent translation, especially when trying to reach a broad audience. It's written in modern English, and I really enjoy the way it's translated and the way it's written. Of course, you can follow along in the translation of your choice, and endorsing this New Living Translation in no way implies any sort of disrespect for any other translation. We all have our favorites, and this is simply the one that I enjoy teaching from. Now, in 2 Corinthians, as in 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing to the Christians in Corinth, churches that he helped establish, many of Christians that he himself had led to Christ. Now, Corinth was a very busy and bustling Greek port city. It was a very wealthy city. The people there had much wealth, and they were blessed in many ways with many talents and gifts. And as Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians, we start in chapter 8. Now, I want to tell you, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done for the churches in Macedonia. Though they have been going through much trouble and hard times, their wonderful joy and deep poverty have overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the gracious privilege of sharing in the gift for the Christians in Jerusalem. Best of all, they went beyond our highest hopes, for their first action was to dedicate themselves to the Lord and to us for whatever directions God might give them. So here Paul is trying to raise money for the churches and Christians in Jerusalem, and he's using the example of the churches in Macedonia who had given, though they were poor, quite generously to help support the Christians in Jerusalem. Picking up in verse 6, "So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to complete your share in this ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways, you have so much faith, such gifted speakers, such knowledge, such enthusiasm, and such love for us, now I want you to excel also in this gracious ministry of giving. I am not saying you must do it, even though the other churches are eager to do it. This is one way to prove your love is real." Now, I want you to note here that they had already started to do this previously, because as Paul says, that he wants them to complete their share in this ministry of giving. And he reminds them that they're a very blessed church. They have much faith, much gifted speakers, much knowledge, much enthusiasm, and much love for us. Some translations, some of the earliest ones say, much love from us to you. So either way. And he reminds them that he wants them also to excel in the gracious ministry of giving. Now, how many of us, ask, we want unlimited gifts and things of faith and being able to speak and have knowledge and enthusiasm and love, and we want to put no limits on those sorts of gifts, but when it comes to the gift of generosity, well, we tend to put limits on that, don't we? We say, well, we'll give so much. And of course, there are some limits that, need to be placed, as he tells them, that he doesn't want them to do more than they have to, as we see later on. They know more than they need, more that will hurt them. Don't give more than they can afford, but give what they can, and to do it and joyfully. Picking up in verse 9, "You know how full of love and kindness our Lord Jesus Christ was. Though he was very rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich." Now, of course, we don't have any evidence that Christ on this earth was any poorer than any other Palestinian at the time, any other Israelite at the time. He was basically a common working man type of situation. We see times where he and the apostles went hungry, and they would have to eat, pick stuff from the fields and things like that. But he was no more poor than anyone else, the average person, rather. But compared to what he had sacrificed. He had given up his power in heaven and all that entailed to experience the earthly life here as a human being, as a man. And so he gave up great wealth in that sense, and compared to that, he was very poor. But in doing so, he gave us the greatest richness there is, which is the gift of salvation. So he gave up his wealth and his position in heaven temporarily so that we could have the incredible wealth of salvation. In verse 10, I suggest that you finish what you started a year ago, for you were the first to propose this idea, and you were the first to begin doing something about it. Now you should carry this project through to completion just as enthusiastically as you began it. Give whatever you can according to what you have. If you are really eager to give, it isn't important how much you are able to give. God wants you to give what you have, not what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean you should give so much that you suffer from having too little. I only mean there should be some equality. Right now you have plenty and can help them. Then at some other time, they can share with you when you need it. And this way, everyone's needs will be met. Do you remember what the scriptures say about this? Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Now, of course, that last verse there is a reference to people who are greedy. You know, greedy people who gather a lot and they hoard a lot. Now, by the nature of their greediness, they can never have enough no matter how much they have. Whereas those who are satisfied to have a little and satisfied of what they have will have enough. And as I said earlier, if you look up there and further earlier on there, he says that it isn't important how much you are able to give. God wants you to give what you have, not what you don't have. He doesn't want you to go into debt in order to give. You know, he doesn't want you to give so much that your own family, for instance, has to go hungry. He doesn't want you to take the rent money to cover, to put a roof over your head in order to help someone else. But if you're able to pay your rent and you have a little bit left over, then use that to help someone else who needs it more. And the time will come in your own life when you need to reach out and help for someone else's help. And by helping others now, it's like building up treasures in heaven, because God will watch out for you in those times when you too need help. Picking up with verse 16, I am thankful to God that he has given Titus the same enthusiasm for you that I have. See, Paul cared very much about the Christians in Corinthia because he had himself led many of them to Christ. He welcomed our request that he visit you again. In fact, he himself was so eager to go and see you. We are also sending another brother with Titus. He is highly praised in all the churches as a preacher of the good news. He was appointed by the churches to accompany us as we take the offering to Jerusalem, a service that glorifies the Lord and shows our eagerness to help. By traveling together, we will guard against any suspicion, for we are anxious that no one should find fault with the way we are handling this generous gift. We are careful to be honorable before the Lord, but we also want everyone else to know that we are honorable. And churches should maintain this same sort of standard. They should handle the gifts that have been so generously entrusted to them, realizing that they are only stewards of that gift. They're answerable to God for how they handle it, and they are also answerable to the people who provide those gifts. It shouldn't just go into a black hole of resources, you know, that get used up, but it should be used as a means of good stewardship and could be used responsibly. And sometimes the best way to do that is to have overseers and have other people there that can witness how you use it. Picking up in verse 22, and we are also sending with them another brother who has been thoroughly tested and has shown how earnest he is on many occasions. He is now even more enthusiastic because of his increased confidence in you. If anyone asks about Titus, say that he is my partner who works with me to help you. And these brothers are representatives of the churches. They are splendid examples of those who bring glory to Christ. So show them your love and prove to all the churches that are boasting about you is justified. Now, of course, here in this last verse, Paul is reminding them that he speaks very highly of them and that he expects them to live up to the level of that he speaks of them. So it's kind of a, I guess you might call it a psychological trick that he's using, though I don't particularly care for that description. But he's letting them know that they're under an obligation to him because of how he has served them in the past and because of how well he speaks of them. And if they behave in a way that doesn't reflect how he speaks of them, they will reflect poorly on Paul himself as well as on themselves. So there we have 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now there are a number of valuable lessons in there for any Christians. First off, it reminds us that we are to share generously with what we have. We are also to be responsible in our giving. So, you know, our own family isn't supposed to go hungry or go without the basic necessities so that we can help someone else. But we should help as much as we can, provided it doesn't cause us undue hardship. And even sometimes, if the need is very great and the hardship is not too much suffering, does not entail too much suffering for yourself or your family, then sometimes a little hardship in itself brings glory to God by your willingness to do it. So he wants you to give, and give generously and enthusiastically. God loves a cheerful giver. And he also expects you, however, to practice good stewardship of those resources that you have. Remember, Scripture tells us everything belongs to God. Everything. The gold is his. The silver is his. Everything is his. So what you have is you have only because God has allowed you to have it. So he wants you to use it responsibly to pay for your own needs and support yourself and your family, but also to support your fellow human beings, your fellow man, your brothers and sisters, especially your brothers and sisters in Christ. There's also in this passage a reminder that we're to complete those things that we set out to do. When we make a pledge, we should carry through to it, especially when we pledge to support or help another church or another Christian. Because when we make that pledge, we are really pledging ourselves before God to do so. And when we fail to meet those pledges, then we are reneging on our pledge to God. And Paul also reminds us that Christ himself gave excessively generously so that we could have salvation. He gave up his position in heaven temporarily to come down and experience life as a man, as a human being, so that we, by his suffering and his death, could experience salvation. And not to, you know, speaking of giving, his wonderful gift of his suffering and death on the cross, which led to his resurrection, was a perfect example of giving to the extreme. And of course, Christ himself did not give more than he could afford to give because he knew that he could give his life for us because he knew he would return to his position in heaven. There's also in the chapter the admonishment against greediness when he reminds us that those who gathered a lot had nothing left over and those who gathered only a little had enough. He's reminding us that as long as we are satisfied with that which God provides for us, we will always have enough. But when we are greedy and we want more than God himself is willing to provide for us, then we will never have enough. And finally, he also reminds us that good stewardship is a responsibility not only of those who give, but to those of those who receive as well. When you receive great gifts, and any kind of generosity from someone else is an obligation to them, that obligation is to practice good stewardship with that. If it's for a certain purpose, use it for that purpose. And if it's used for another purpose, do it only with the permission of those who have, you know, provided that gift. So that's 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Please keep our church in your prayers. And please keep in your prayers the upcoming appearance of Rich Parr, who's going to be in concert July the 16th at St. Luke's at our morning worship service. He's going to be sharing his wonderful musical talent as well as his dramatic testimony with us. As always, keep our families in your prayers. Pray for those who are separated from their loved ones. Pray for those who are ill and who are suffering. Pray for those military personnel who are overseas. Pray especially for the unsaved, for the lost in this world, that we might reach them and they might hear the good news of Christ's salvation while they still have time. And pray also again for our church and for all its ministries. This is Pastor Dave Ford thanking you and wishing you a good week. We hope to see you again next week. And until then, thanks and God bless. And remember, Jesus loves you. He really does.